Thank you very much. It makes it so much better on this rainy holiday weekend. You can have a seat. Well, Memorial Day weekend, right? Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And it's a day that we set aside to intentionally remember and honor the brave men and women who gave the last full measure of their devotion to our country. It's an important day for our country. And it's a day that sometimes we lose track of. In fact, USA Today ran an article this week about how we've lost focus on tomorrow, on Memorial Day as a nation. And the focus was about the top Google queries on Memorial Day. So the questions that people ask of Google on Memorial Day. You ready for them? Number one is a question, is the zoo open on Memorial Day? Top question nationwide. Number two is the open-ended question, what to do for Memorial Day weekend? Let's let the search engine tell us. And then numbers three and four and five were all questions associated to different amusement parks. Hershey Park, Typhoon Lagoon and Disney World, and Kings Island. So as a nation, we're trying to entertain ourselves on Memorial Day, right? It's come to be about just a vacation, recreation, amusement. It's easy to lose purpose, to lose sight of purpose. And that's not just true about Memorial Day. That's true for almost everything in life. And it's certainly true for church. It's easy for the church to lose sight of her calling, of her identity. And when we do, we always slip into matters of personal preference and shallow amusement and what we feel. I think we're at a critical time in the life of our church. And I want to take a few weeks here as summer begins to refocus our vision, our understanding of who we are as a church. What is a church? And we're going to do that by looking at a text in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16, we find a little text that speaks to us in a concise and clear way about the nature of a church. I'm not talking about the church universal, all Christians in all places, all believers in all ages. This is a text that's speaking clearly about a local church. What does the Bible teach us about what is the church? If you ask most people in our world today, what is a church? The answer is almost always going to be an answer to the question, where is the church? They're going to talk to you about a building or a location first. And they might talk to you about something along the lines of what a church does. Services of worship, gatherings, ministries. But we're clueless when it comes to what is the church, this local body of believers. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16 gives us some answers. And we're going to take our time over 3 weeks to unfold this. You follow along as I read the text. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Verse 16 is a hymn of the church. It speaks about Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in weeks to come. This morning, I want to begin this text by making this one statement. The Bible teaches us here that our identity as a church demands that we live a better way of life. You understand the sense, the statement? Our identity corporately demands a better way of life from you and me individually. This is a text in verse 15 that is marked by a couple of key words. One is the word conduct. Paul says, I'm writing this whole letter to Timothy so that you and the people around you will know how to conduct yourself. And this is a word that is a word that speaks to moral conduct, to relational integrity, to our whole way of life. It's not a word that just talks about one or two specific behaviors, but it's talking about your manner of life, how you live your life. Sometimes the old King James translates this word conversation, how you talk, how you walk, how you live your life day in and day out. Paul says, I'm writing to you so that you'll know how to conduct yourself as a member of the church. In fact, he uses a strong little New Testament word that our culture doesn't like much. He uses the word ought. You notice it in verse 15? So that you might know how one ought to conduct himself. It's a little New Testament word, D-E-I, day. And it's a word that speaks to a necessity grounded in the will of God. And we live in a culture that doesn't like oughts and shoulds. But that's what Paul's laying down here. He's saying, listen, your association with the church, with a local church, brings with it a moral imperative. There is a certain way that you should live your life because of who you are, who we are, as the body of Christ. And this is what Paul's speaking to, that God expects a certain way of life out of every member of the body. Paul said, that's the whole reason I'm writing this letter. If we had time to overview the whole of 1 Timothy, the six chapters, you'd see that Paul writes to help Timothy understand this new way of life in Christ Jesus. He starts off by saying, the goal of our instruction is that you'd live lives of love from a pure heart and with a good conscience and a sincere faith. And he talks to Timothy about how we should be a people of prayer for all. We should be marked by godliness and dignity and unity. How our leaders are called to a higher standard. He talks about how we deal with wealth and poverty and persecution and false teachers. He talks a lot about relationships in a family, in the church, in a community. How old people treat young people and young people treat old people and male and female and leaders and members. This is a letter full of instruction about how we ought to conduct ourselves. And right in the middle, he gives us some pictures. Verse 15, he says, listen, all that I'm writing you here is meant to challenge you to live up to who you are as a church. I'm calling you as an individual to live up to your corporate identity. And he paints three pictures. You see them in verse 15? Of the church. He says the church is the household of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And what is Paul saying about us when he paints those three pictures? This is a little bit like, you know how when you get some instructions and you're trying to put something together, you know, an appliance or some furniture? I read an article that said IKEA is the source of a lot of marital strife. No joke. Psychology Today. IKEA is something that surfaces a lot of times in marriage counseling. Because first they fight about what to buy, and second they fight about putting it together. Right? I was putting something together for our granddaughter, Pearl, a little toy. It had six pages of instructions. Written, printed instructions. But right in the middle, there were about four pictures. Do you think I read the instructions or looked at the pictures? Yeah. Oh, this goes here. Right? Paul is doing a little bit of that. He has six chapters of written instructions about how we ought to conduct ourselves. But right in the middle, he offers us some pictures. Would you just live up to this standard? You are a member of the household of God. You are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and support of the truth. And we're going to talk about these over the next 3 weeks, but this morning I want to think about the first one. What is the Bible telling us about our lives individually if we see ourselves as a part of the household of God? Live like a member of the family of God. Paul says you wouldn't need all these rules and instructions if you just commit yourself to live like a member of the family of God. Live like a band of brothers and sisters. Now, there's some confusion at times with this little phrase, household of God. The King James translates the word house instead of household. So the text reads, that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. And so some people have read that and say, well, Paul's saying you ought to behave when you come to church, right? And some of you, like me, you were raised with a set of rules about how to behave in the house of God, right? Don't wear a hat. Don't bring a drink. Don't run. And where I grew up, don't dip Copenhagen. Those are kind of the four rules, right? That last one, I'm joking. That was an assumed rule. It wasn't seldom in print. Hey, you do know that in the courthouse of the county seat town where I grew up, in every hallway there is painted, stenciled on the wall, $50 fine for spitting on the floor. True story. So I'm not, you guys are getting me off track here. So some people read this language in the King James so that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. And they think, oh, well, I know that. There are rules about how you act when you go to church. And listen, if you're not careful, you grow up with an idea of, as long as you keep those rules about how you act in church, you don't run, you don't talk, you take your hat off, then it's okay if you cuss like a sailor at the ball game on Friday night, or mistreat your family, or corrupt in the way you do business. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about how you behave on 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning in this building. Remember, he's talking about your conduct, your lifestyle, your way of life 7 days a week. Live your life 7 days a week as though you are really a member of the family of God, the household of God. This is an important image, a picture. So, for example, in chapter 5, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you should speak to the old men like they're your father. And you should speak to the young men like they're your brothers. And you should speak to the old women like they're your mother. And you should speak to the young women like they're your sister. Treat each other like family. The household of God, the family of God. That's the picture. It's likely that this weekend, as is oftentimes the case at Memorial Day, we'll see some reruns of that great mini-series of Band of Brothers. Don't you love that? Based on Stephen Ambrose's book, story of the Easy Company from the 101st Airborne Division in World War II, the Band of Brothers. You know that that's a line from Shakespeare, Henry V, who talks before going into the battle, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. And the idea is that when you go into battle, you're not just fighting for the cause, you're fighting for each other. And that the shared cause forms you to be a kind of band of brothers, like family. And this is the same kind of language of household of God, that we must live and function like family. We're in the fight together. And our calling as a church demands every ounce of strength and loyalty and devotion. Do you know the Bible teaches us that our commitment to Christ includes a commitment to each other? We're part of the household of God. It's a call to unity. But there's more than that involved here. When the Bible talks about the church as the household of God, the family of God, and this is consistent New Testament language, occurs over and over and over again. Every time you read in the Bible that the church is the household of God, you hear a call to unity. But there's more than that. Because this is language that also declares that your way of life impacts our reputation. Do you know that's a part of being the family of God? Your way of life colors my reputation. Our reputation. You all know that it's true that my way of life colors your reputation, don't you? If I fall morally, it's not going to just impact me, it's going to impact you. But you know it works the other way around too? That your way of life can cast a shadow on me? That your way of life, your conduct, your behavior, it impacts our reputation. How you live individually, it impacts our reputation corporately. That's part of what it means to be a member of the family of God, the household of God. It's part of what this language is speaking to. That's why in 1 Timothy, Paul says, listen, if you're going to put someone in a leadership position, they need to be above reproach. They need to have a good reputation because their reputation is going to be our reputation. It's clear teaching of Scripture, and it's just practical reality. I had a good friend. We were friends all through elementary school and junior high and high school. And along about the time, I knew him to be a good student. He was a good friend. He was respectful in class. And long about the time we got in junior high, I began to realize that adults in our community treated him differently than they treated me. They were more sharp in their language toward him. They're more quick to punish him. Sometimes they just ignored him and gave me attention. And by the time we were in high school, I realized they treated him that way because of his family. No two ways about it. His family was a bunch of crooks, drunks. They were a rough bunch of people. And it was assumed that his reputation was like theirs, that his character was like theirs. You see, listen, that's what family's like. Your reputation is mine. Your way of life impacts all of us. And this is a reality that this simple picture of church as the household of God confronts us with. As a family of God, we're judged together. And so household of God is an image, a picture of the church that calls us to unity and to purity. Let me press in a little bit further. Not only does your way of life impact our reputation, but your way of life impacts the Father's reputation. You know that's true? Paul can say, hey, instead of giving you a list of 36 rules about how to behave, how about you just behave in such a way that you don't shame your Heavenly Father? Because you're a member of His household. The household of God is a picture of the church that speaks. It speaks to our privilege as the people of God. But it also speaks to our responsibility to be marked individually and corporately by unity and a purity that results in the Father's glory. It's all wrapped up in this one phrase, the church is the household of God. And there are many people today, do you understand? There are people today who are forming their opinion of your Father based on how you behave. And that is an awesome, terrible truth. But it is the truth. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, listen, you're the church, you're the people of God. You used to not be a people, but now you are the people. And you should live your life in such a way that even though people want to falsely accuse you, they'll be forced to glorify your Father because of how you live your life. Do you know why Peter could say that in 1 Peter chapter 2? Because Jesus had taught them that we should let our light shine in such a way that people around us would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So household of God is language that not only speaks to the fact that your individual way of life impacts our corporate reputation, but also your individual way of life as a member of the household of God, it impacts the Father's glory, His reputation. Paul says so much by painting that one simple picture, doesn't he? Would your life change if you lived every day clearly aware of your standing as a member of the family of God? Unity, purity, His glory. Do you remember when Jacob took his family to Egypt? Jacob had never been to Egypt before. He was an old man, large family, literally hundreds of them. And he has to leave Israel and go to Egypt because of the famine. He's a refugee. But when he gets to Egypt, he's not rejected, he's embraced. When Jacob and his sons and granddaughters, when they get to Egypt, they're not under suspicion, they're trusted. They're not given the worst of land, they're given the best of land. In fact, they're so embraced by Pharaoh, even though he had never met Jacob. He was so embraced by Pharaoh that Pharaoh said, "Why don't you take care of my livestock too?" And then Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, humbled himself so that Jacob could bless him. Pharaoh had never met Jacob. He didn't know that family coming with him. Why did he treat him that way? Do you remember why? One word. Joseph. He knew his son. And his confidence in the character of Joseph was translated into his opinion of Joseph's brothers and Joseph's father. You are a member of the household of God. And for good or for bad, the opinion that people have of your character is going to be transferred to your brothers and sisters and even to your Heavenly Father. That's enough, isn't it? Knowing that? That's enough to call us to a better way of life. The household of God. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, I thank you for each one here, their faithfulness on this holiday weekend. And I pray that your word would not return void, that as you've spoken to us, we'd order our lives accordingly. We'd be doers of the word and not hearers only. Continued a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of response this morning. And as we sing, some of you may need to come receiving Christ as Savior. You want to turn from sin and trust in Jesus Christ, what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. Some may come because you want to join our church, and we'll be happy to help you with that commitment. Listen, I know on a weekend like this, most of you here are already members of this church. But I wonder if your way of life is a credit to our reputation or a detriment. I wonder if you're living a life marked by such unity and purity that it results in the Father's glory. It could be this morning the Holy Spirit of God searches your heart and shows you some hurtful ways in your life. Words, relationships, deeds. And you need to repent. You need to turn from that wickedness, that sin, that shames your father, hurts the family reputation. You're not living up to the standard set before us in Christ Jesus. And you need to get that right this morning. Listen, this is serious business, not 1 hour on Sunday morning. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a member of the household of God. And you want to live your life accordingly. Let's stand together and sing, and as we do, you come.